Hi, my name is Rama Shah, and I'm a software engineer here in New York City. I came to America in 2007, and I've been here for about 12 years. And I'm here today in the podcast at the end of the day with Deepika and Anuj.
Rama, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
So good to have you finally.
I know. I'm so glad to finally, you know, meet you guys and catch up with you. It's really exciting.
Rama, you came here in 2007. Mm-hmm.
First of all, when I first came to America, I just wanted to study international business. I'm very passionate about economics. So I wanted to study that, and I came to Santa Monica in California, and I enrolled for international business, but I kind of made friends with few software engineers because I used to work for this volunteer thing. So I was like, okay, so I want to study computer science. So after that, I applied to Baruch College, where you went to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went there and I applied for computer science course, and I actually applied to New York, University in New York and in San Diego, and I got accepted in New York. So I just moved here. Mm-hmm. So that's how it started. I minored in economics because I'm very passionate about it anyway. And it also kind of like works in the blockchain that I'm working, because it's about economy and money and that kind of stuff. So, so that's the whole record of me coming from Nepal to America in California and doing my community college there, and then coming here to New York to study computer science. So I did my undergrad from Baruch College. Mm-hmm. I majored in, the degree is called BBA, but the major is in computer information system and the minor is in economics.
Right. Yeah. So talking about your job.
Yes.
Okay. Let's start from your surviving job.
Okay. Okay. I'd love to. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So surviving job, actually me and my friend, we talk about this a lot, about career versus temporary job, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I see a lot, what happens in Nepali community, is when people come to America, they do these surviving jobs and kind of it's comfortable and they just continue doing that for X amount of years,
right?
Which I kind of don't really like. But you know, that's another topic we'll discuss some mm-hmm. other day. Mm-hmm. But my surviving job was I did a lot of waiting tables and hostessing in restaurants. Mm-hmm. I was very lucky when I was in California. I worked in this French restaurant. Like it was run by this whole French family. They were like my second family there. And then when I came here in New York, it was really hard. Like for 1 year, it was so, I think in 1 year, I changed like 6 jobs. Mm-hmm. It was really hard. And people were brutal because I would get fired over email.
Meaning, why was it so hard? And how were people like brutal to you that they had to fire you over email?
Because, you know, like I think, you know how we Nepali people are. We're very friendly, we're very easygoing, and we're not very cutthroat. Mm-hmm. And especially I think in New York, I kind of learned the skill of being, or how people are cutthroat, but at the same time I don't identify as that. But I think, so to give you an example, like this one job where I was hostessing while I was working in Baruch College. So it was in Baruch College in 26 in Lexington. That mm-hmm. job was in 33rd. So it was very convenient. And so I was supposed to be the floor manager at some point, but I wasn't very like strict with people and I wasn't very vocal about things. So I kind of got, they cut my hours. So my rent was like $670 a month, mm-hmm. and I was making like 400 something a month.
Oh.
So just like, I couldn't even pay rent. It was really bad. And then I was like, okay, I quit. And, but like, luckily I have to say, so I switched so many jobs. I worked for about 2.5-3 years at this place called The Coffee Shop. Mm-hmm. It was a Brazilian diner in Union Square. And, I just want to say this. You know Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez,
yep.
Mm-hmm. the youngest congresswoman. Mm-hmm. She and I used to work together.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we used to wait tables together.
Whoa.
Yes. Whoa.
We used to call her Sandy. I don't even know Alexandria was her real name, but we used to call her Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
And this place, I remember like one day I was really depressed because I didn't have money. Luckily, my sister had loaned me a few thousand to just, I was afraid I had to drop out of school. I remember my sister gave me like, I think $9,000 she just loaned me.
I hope she listens to the show.
Yeah, I will.
I hope you have returned that back.
I did.
You did, okay.
I hate like borrowing money. I've never, even my dad offered, but I was very reluctant to take money from my parents because, you know, with money comes obligation to do whatever they say. So I was like, no thanks, Dad. I would rather drop out. But yeah, so that happened. But luckily, you know, one day I remember I was like, okay, I need to do something. I can't afford to be like home depressed. So I like dressed up and I literally, I had a one mile radius from my school because mm-hmm. that's the, you know, it's a temporary job. So mm-hmm. I don't want to go anywhere. So I found this coffee shop. This place, the coffee shop where we work, that was kind of like, it changed my life because I was working 60 hours a week, you know,
60 hours.
It was at least because mm-hmm. I used to do double shifts and whenever anybody couldn't come to work because this was a place where they had a lot of like models and actors working there.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they were like, oh, I have to go for audition. Can you cover my thing? I was like, yeah, sure. And so I used to literally, my shift started from 8 to 5.
Right.
And from 5:30 to 10:30, I used to go to class.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for about 2.5 years to go to school. Luckily, I made really good money as waiting tables there. And I was able to pay my loan
mm-hmm.
to my sister. So that, and I graduated school without any loan, which I'm really proud to say. You know, like I didn't take any money from anyone. Yeah, just doing that. I have to say it did affect my grades though, because, you know, I still remember like my first, this microeconomic class, one of the economic class, Professor Croquette, I still remember his name. I was taking his class and it was one of those classes in auditorium,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I used to take, and I always have to sit in the front of the class. That's just okay. The kind of student I am. And I would take a huge coffee at five. But the class started at 5:40 and I put in the front uh-huh. of the auditorium and I was trying to pay attention. But I've been running around waiting table since 8 a.m., mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So I used to like...
to start snoring?
I used to snore sometimes,
oh my God.
I used to just like fall asleep. It was so bad. Yeah, it was so bad. And
did you even have your professor walk to you and wake you up?
No. He was very... Like, he was non-confrontational. You know, one of those professors mm-hmm. who's very nice.
Yeah, and professors yeah. understand. You know,
I think they understand. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I remember during one class, like, my computer just crashed.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to partition the hard drive in my computer, and it just crashed, and I didn't submit any work. And at the end of the semester, I just went to the professor, and I talked to him, like, hey, listen, this happened, you know, I couldn't run any program because this happened. My computer is in Apple Store. And he actually listened, you know, mm-hmm. he actually listened and he helped me like get a loan laptop.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another thing. I don't know a lot of Nepali students do this or international students do this, but
mm-hmm.
if you have a problem with your anything, even like, let's say you have water leaking in your apartment and you can't focus on studies, you should definitely talk to you know, your teachers, because they're human being at mm-hmm. the end of the day, and I think they're very like responsive and they kind of try to help you in general.
Okay, so you were able to pay off your loan and and did graduate with your
yes.
bachelor's degree.
Yes.
So how did you start your professional career now? Because you didn't want to stuck doing surviving jobs.
So yeah, so I graduated in December. I mean, I finished my classes in 2013
mm-hmm.
December, and I. At that time, Google had came out with this front-end framework called Angular.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, and this is so funny, even though I went to school for computer science, there's so many, like, divisions of computer science,
mm-hmm.
you know? There's software engineering. There's, like, you can consider Uber application or, you know, Yelp, like, as a software.
Mm-hmm.
There's front-end, which you just build a user interface, like, you interact with. There's back-end, which has to do with a lot of data. there was a job opening in Chicago in Sears, right? And at this point, I wasn't very picky. So I was like, okay. I applied, I got the job, and I moved to Chicago. So yeah. So I gave all my friends and family here 2 week notice. I was like, hey, I'm starting a job in Chicago in 2 weeks. And I just literally like packed my bag and just left, you know? And I worked there for about a year. And it wasn't a full-time position. It was like contract positions.
Rama, I want to stop you there. So when you got that first job, right, how did you land that job opportunity? Because I'm trying to figure out. You just applied and then...
Yeah, I just applied. So what happens is that I suggest everyone, there's like online, you can find anything. You know, you can find anything online. It's... even the job in Germany, I just, when I applied to, like last year, 2018, I was working in Germany. So this pharmaceutical company, a friend of mine was a scientist there, right? And she was like, oh, this company is great, blah, blah, blah. So I went to the website and I was just looking at jobs and I saw front end. And then the place was called Ingelheim. I didn't even know what Ingelheim is. Ingelheim is the name of the city. That's where I was for a year. So I just applied, and then the CTO was so surprised. He's like, how did you even hear about this job? And I was like, I was just Googling online, you know, and I just found it. Anything, even even like for me right now, so I'm working a lot with blockchain and cryptocurrency. So there are places like angel.co. There's Crunchbases. LinkedIn also has jobs. So you can just like Google Angular jobs, you know, or even in like React. If you go to react.org, you can probably go to the career section and find. So I just found it. And this is not the first one I applied, though. It's probably one of the 990 or 100.
That makes sense.
It wasn't just like, let me apply. And no. So I got the job in April, but I was starting to look like 6 months before I graduated. So it was a while.
Now that makes sense, because I was like thinking like how did she land a job,
right? And then you got it immediately.
Job, one thing I've noticed is that it's really good to network, because you know, this, I was reading this somewhere that one networking application, a job application, is equal to 50 just blind application that you send out, you know. So that's how I got the job.
Interesting.
And fast forward to now, you are as a software engineer. What exactly do you do? I know you talk about blockchain and crypto.
That's too much fancy for us.
I'm sorry.
Sometimes it's like jargon.
So what I do past like since 2017, I've started working with blockchain. So basically, what that means is that. Ethereum is one of the, you know, like blockchain that I work with. And one of the famous one is Bitcoin. And then there's Ethereum. And Ethereum is more user-friendly. And you kind of like write these contracts, smart contract, they call it, using a programming language called Solidity. So it basically, what it does is like it sends the information to the blockchain, and it's just logic that tells you what goes to the blockchain, how you can get the data from the blockchain. So these are the things. So I write Solidity contracts too. Does that make sense?
Somewhat.
Okay, cool.
It was so wonderful talking to you. I'm just concerned about the limited time that we are left with. So there is a news that is you have your own podcast.
Well, I don't know about that.
You've just started a podcast. So tell us a little about your podcast.
So the podcast is called Kaskura Podcast. It means real talk podcast. And it started as just like, you know, I'm very passionate about teaching students about do's and don'ts in America, right? There are so many things I learned. And I wanted people to know, if they're an immigrant coming to America, I wanted them to know about these things. And also about, we wanted to talk about mental health as an immigrant, which no one talks about. Education in America is a $42 billion industry, which no one talks about. So we just wanted to kind of let people know about these things happening. It's kind of like similar to your guys, you guys' podcast, but I think we wanted to like have it our own a little twist, but we'll see how it goes.
I wish you guys all the luck.
Thank you.
So how do audience, those who want to get in touch with you, can contact you?
So you can email me. My email is rgene2@gmail.com. This is like my personal inbox email. I would love to answer, especially students. If you're a student and if you want to come to America, or if you want to study computer science, I can definitely give you all the knowledge I have.
Yeah, thank you so much. And if you are emailing or DMing Rama, make sure you mention podcast at the end of the day, because in that way, she knows where these emails or messages are coming from.
Thank you so much for saying that. Otherwise, I would be like,
who the hell is this guy? And all the best for your podcast as well.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we'll try.
Definitely subscribe to their podcast, Khaskura.
Yes, and their podcast too at the end of the day.
Thank you so much. And we would also like to thank the BetterWorks for providing us their wonderful studio to record this conversation. Please subscribe to our podcast and please follow us on social media platforms, including on Instagram, also on LinkedIn and Facebook and on Twitter. So, time to say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey guys, a quick note. If you have a personal story that you think might be helpful to the newly arriving immigrants in the U.S., please contact us. We would love to feature you in our podcast. Go to our website, podcastattheendoftheday.com, and write to us by going to the feedback section.
And by the way, if you love this podcast, you can support us with a small donation. Your help will enable us to continue producing more episodes. The link to support our podcast is in the description below.